You're listening to Central Time. I'm Mike Arnold in for Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. There's been a lot of attention in recent years to the partisan divide in Wisconsin politics. From the Act 10 budget bill through protests, recalls, and on to the current debates over university and education funding in the state's budget proposal.
Our next guest has been exploring that divide, and she says a big part of that conflict comes from a distrust of Madison in the state's small towns and rural communities. She says there's a sense that those parts of the state can be ignored in budgets and marginalized in other important decisions, which can lead to feelings of resentment that play out at election time.
Kathy Kramer joins us here in the studio. She's written papers on the topic and is exploring wider issues of the political divide in a forthcoming book. She's interim director of the Mortgage Center for Public Service and professor of political science at UW-Madison. Kathy, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I should say you're director now, is that correct?
Oh, that's correct. Yes, I'm very honored to be director of the Mortgage Center, you bet.
Well, Kathy, as part of your research, you get together with small groups of people in communities around the state, talk about politics and other issues. When people in small towns and rural areas talk about state politics, what kind of themes come out consistently?
Well, there's a lot of anxiety, like there is for a lot of people in the state. But one thing that I've heard very strongly was this sense of rural areas feeling as though their resources are being taxed away and pulled to Madison and spent on Madison and Milwaukee, and that they're not getting their fair share in return. And there's also this sense that they don't get enough say in the political power or the decision-making of the state, and also a general sense that they're misunderstood, that people in the cities just don't get what rural life is like.
Now, when we're talking about the cities, is it in general Madison and Milwaukee, or is it usually Madison?
Madison and Milwaukee, but Madison gets a special focus because the state government is located here, and so it really is. But both of the cities are seen as power centers in the state, but I think because the state capital is here and the flagship school of the university system is here, that there's a lot of focus on Madison and that kind of resentment.
So how does that play out when we're looking at big revenue issues, things like the state budget? How does that tend to get processed in small-town Wisconsin in terms of thinking or feeling that it might not be getting its fair due?
Well, there's a question about, you know, my taxes are, there's a sense that my taxes are going up, but life in our town is not necessarily improving. The job prospects aren't necessarily improving, and our schools are, you know, kind of strapped, and we're having a hard time making ends meet. So, however revenue is being spent doesn't seem to be benefiting our community. So, why would we advocate raising taxes to spend more of our money that clearly isn't benefiting us? So you can see that pattern of thinking promotes a lot of resistance to more government spending.
So that's the pattern of thinking. Does your research get into whether or not there is, in fact, some reality there that some rural communities and parts of the state do get marginalized?
Well, yeah, I do try to investigate that a bit, and it's not necessarily the case that smaller communities in the state are on the short end of the stick when it comes to how public resources are divided up. It depends on the policy area, and it depends on the level of government. So in some cases, yes, but in other cases, it tends to be that rural communities get more public funding per capita than urban communities. So the resentment is real, whether the data actually support the idea that rural areas aren't getting their fair share is very debatable.
Now, you've put this down, at least in part, to divisive politics. Politics in Wisconsin are very divided right now. How would you characterize the way we think about politics in the state?
Well, in general, I would say it's painful. I mean, right now, it's politics in the state of Wisconsin are a very painful topic. And I think we've probably felt that the most at the time of the recall election, the gubernatorial recall election, when there were many stories and many personal stories and stories through the news about how people were having a difficult time talking with one another about politics. What those divides actually are, my interest is more in how they're influencing the way we talk with one another and the way we relate to one another. And I they're real. I mean, they're real in the sense of in our workplaces, but probably even more so outside of the workplace, in our families, how difficult it is to sometimes have conversations across people who are public employees and private employees. That's where I've seen it and heard the stories of the most. So generally, I would say our politics are painful.
So when you got these political divides that come up when we talk about politics, do you have a sense about whether, when there's resentment, that it's directed at people or a group of people, or is it directed at a policy?
People, which I think is what makes it so problematic, that right now our politics are so personal that the targets of blame have become individual people, whether it be public employees or public school teachers or Democrats versus Republicans, or, you know, those people in the cities, or those people in rural areas who just don't understand how hard we actually work, right? Something we hear in Madison. It's less about policies and more about resentment towards actual groups of people.
Do you see that being a kind of a two-way street, that people from the cities, public employees, funnel that resentment back at maybe people in rural areas?
I think it's definitely a two-way street, if not a multiple-way street, that there's this, I think, in a time of uncertainty in which we have right now, economic uncertainty and otherwise, there's just a lot of distrust has been bred, and people of a variety of backgrounds are feeling that. And once you have a culture in which there's so much divisiveness and distrust, it's people kind of hunker down and exude their own, you know, sense of blame. And that it just, it's a cycle that perpetuates itself. So once, I guess, you know, our next question is, how the heck do we get out of that? And that's a key question for me, as someone who grew up here. I just find it very, very sad and very difficult. And I try to imagine ways of kind of reversing the trend and making it possible for people to see one another as Wisconsinites again.
We're talking right now with Kathy Kramer from UW-Madison. She's director of the Mortgage Center for Public Service and a professor of political science at UW-Madison. And Kathy, do you see Wisconsin as a special case, or are we seeing divided politics across the country, or is there something, you know, especially difficult about Wisconsin politics right now?
I think there's divisiveness across the country for sure, but in my mind it's a special case in that Wisconsin was seen as a place of civility and clean government for a long time, and the reversal in the level of trust toward government and the level of trust toward one another seems to have been pretty quick in my mind. So it's a special case in that I think here more than many other places, there's a sense that something has been lost or something has changed rapidly.
Well, I want to get to some of those brainstorming of solutions that you were talking about. But first, I want to talk a little bit especially about the UW system, because you've also zeroed in to look at how people outside of Madison look at UW-Madison. What did you find, and how did you conduct that?
Well, I was going to say it's tricky. It's not tricky, but it's complicated. So I want to be careful about how I convey it, because on the one hand, I found that people love the University of Wisconsin system and have so much pride in their local state school or college and the University of Wisconsin-Madison itself. And yet, I've encountered a lot of criticism, even though people knew that I was very proud to be a faculty member here and that I was indeed a professor of political science. People still had plenty to say that was critical of faculty members, for example, such as this perception that we're lazy and we never teach our own courses, and that we're elitist in the sense of making a lot of money for not working very hard or being out of touch with small town Wisconsin life. So there was criticism along those lines. And yet there was definitely this sense of ownership of University of Wisconsin-Madison and the system as a whole, and taking pride in the fact that Wisconsin has this extensive higher education public system. And, you know, Badger fandom, Badger sports are everywhere.
Right. People
in
brought
this
up
state.
Sports a lot when you said, what does the UW-Madison do right? They said sports.
Yeah. And sometimes people laugh when I say that, but I think it's really important that many people in the state have a connection to UW-Madison in particular because they are rabid Badger fans. And I think that's a very positive thing for many people who have not gone to school here or don't have a family member here. They have this strong emotional tie to this school. So I think people want to be more a part of UW-Madison, and yet they also feel strongly a part of it already.
Well, as you know, the UW system has been in the news a lot recently, both because of the proposed $300 million budget cut over 2 years that's been reduced now in the Joint Finance Committee, and a proposal to strike tenure language from state law, those being a couple of hot-button issues around the UW-Madison. How are those issues going over in rural Wisconsin?
Well, I have not had the opportunity to go back around to all of these communities to ask people what they're thinking about the proposed budget cut. So I really don't know for sure, but just thinking back on the conversations that I have had with people, I think there would probably be a mix of, you know, we're all hurting, we all have to cut back, cuts are necessary, and also a sense, well, is it going to be even harder for my child to attend school there, or is it going to be more difficult for my kid to get in? So I imagine there'd be a mix of reactions to it.
We're talking right now with Kathy Kramer from UW-Madison about what are the divisions in Wisconsin politics, a feeling among people in rural parts of the state and small towns that they're overlooked, ignored, maybe underfunded by the government in Madison.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you see this political divide between the state's capital and its small towns? If you live in a small town or a rural area, do you feel this? Do you think your needs and those of your community don't get the attention they deserve? Or do you see any ways to bridge the gap between urban and rural Wisconsin in our politics? Or maybe you're from a suburban area and you're kind of in the middle on the whole thing. We'd like to hear from you. Call in now at 800-642-1234. We continue our conversation with UW-Madison political scientist Kathy Kramer, looking at Wisconsin's divided politics and her research into the division, even the resentment between small-town Wisconsin and the state capital and larger cities.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you feel a sense that there are haves and have-nots when it comes to state policies, budgeting, and decision-making? Do you think your community, your small town, or big city, or in between does maybe get the short end of the stick? Do you see resentment, divisive politics playing a big role in state politics? Call 800-642-1234, or you can post your thoughts over on the Central Time Facebook page. And we go to our callers now. We've got Bob on the line in Kenosha. Hi, Bob.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Make a comment. Live in Southeastern, and I've always voted Democrat. Own property in very northern Wisconsin, and find it very interesting to go to the grocery store or anywhere, hardware store, and listen to the conversation and just kind of keep my mouth shut listening to the people making comments. And most of them are flying stickers or bumper stickers that are sportsmen for Walker, and how you talk about the Capitol, and that's what comes to mind, that he's promoting small town USA, and I kind of just happen to think the opposite, that these people are being not truthful of themselves and think that primarily they're last on anybody's list there. But that's just my opinion. I don't know what your take is on that.
All right, Bob, thank you for that call. Appreciate your thoughts there. And Bob, you know, there are dichotomies within small towns too.
Thanks, Bob, for calling in. I hear what you're saying, and I I'm fumbling here because I think what you're saying is that, and this is a concern I hear often, that, you know, it seems that people in small town Wisconsin who support Governor Walker are not they're not recognize their interests appropriately, and I think it's kind of a myth that people have interests that we as someone outside their own lives can identify. I mean, what I try to tell myself as a public opinion scholar is I don't know what people's interests are because that's something that they define for themselves through their experience and the way they perceive the world. And so in that situation, like in the grocery stores in northern Wisconsin, say you're in a tourist community, you know, how does it feel to be somebody living in that town, really struggling to make ends meet and seeing the tourists come in primarily from cities downstate, right, buying really expensive champagne and food during their vacation time? And I think if what they're perceiving is that Scott Walker is someone who understands small town people like them, then they are perceiving that it is in their interest to vote for him and support him. So I guess what I'm saying is it's all in the eye of the beholder. And I appreciate your concern that you could go to these communities and wonder, you know, I'm not really sure that the Republican Party is supporting people in this town. And yet, if we spend time there and recognize their experiences and their perception that, you know, the wealth is in the cities and not here, that their desire to cut back on government makes sense. I'm not saying that it's necessarily, you know, the right stance, but it's a little more understandable when we do the thing like you're doing, just listening to what people are saying and try to understand where they're coming from.
Thank you for that call. We're talking with Kathy Kramer, director of the Mortgage Center for Public Service at UW-Madison. And you can join us at 800-642-1234 as we talk about a perceived urban-rural divide in Wisconsin. That's 800-642-1234. And we go next to Chris in Madison. Hi, Chris.
Yes, it is my perception that rural communities in Wisconsin really have a much more hardy work ethic and feel taken advantage of by people who are dependent on the state. And whereas in urban environments, you have a much higher concentration of people who are dependent on government subsidies of one form or another. And the association with that makes it more acceptable because if your friends are, you know, on the dole, then, well, it must be okay because they're your friends. You don't want to criticize your friends. And then they feel, you know, taken advantage of and misunderstood.
Thank you so much for your thoughts, Chris. Appreciate your call. And Kathy, this echoes very closely what you hear in terms of this divide, looking at who gets public benefits, whether they're worthy of the benefits, and whose tax dollars go to support whom. How does that symbolize to you what you're hearing in Wisconsin right now?
That is a very familiar sentiment that I hear. One of the things I liked to do while I was traveling around the state is to take statements like that and share them with some of the urban and suburban groups I spent time with. And I said, you know, here's what I'm hearing in rural Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin, to a group of people meeting in Milwaukee and say, you know, what do you think of that? And sometimes their response back to me would be, you know, kind of chuckling and saying, you know, have they been to Milwaukee? Have they seen the way we work or the fact that we, too, are working three jobs to make ends meet? So that's one thing I would say in response. And another is, government subsidies come in so many forms. And I think oftentimes when we talk about government subsidies, we think about kind of traditional welfare benefits. But, you know, all of us who own a home and get a mortgage tax deduction are getting a government subsidy. All of us who drive on roads are getting a government subsidy. And I think a lot of the government subsidies to the cities are very visible in the news. But a lot of the government subsidies in other parts of the state are very real, but we don't as often draw attention to them.
And just briefly, as we wrap up, Kathy, what possible solutions do you have in mind to moving toward a shared identity as Wisconsinites?
Public radio? I was not paid to say that. But I think any opportunity we have to talk with one another for real and listen to other points of view is just enormously valuable, because I think one of the greatest losses we've had in this state is dialogue and civility and this idea that we are supposed to be in this together. Suddenly, there's a very palpable sense that we are not in this together, and we are on opposite sides, and the other point of view can't possibly be worth listening to. So I think we should expect it from our leaders, and our leaders should do it, but we should also do it in our own everyday life, too.
Kathy, thanks a lot for joining us.
You are so welcome. Thank you for having me.
That was Kathy Kramer, director of the Mortgage Center for Public Service and professor of political science at UW-Madison.